on demand.
Hi, I'm Jim Stroud. Welcome to the Recruiter's Lounge. The Recruiter's Lounge is a podcast of news, interviews, and commentary on the recruiting industry, and it was designed with you in mind. So sit back, relax, and enjoy your time in the Recruiter's Lounge.
G'day, I'm Julian Sirigood, and with my wife Shannon Sirigood, we publish a blog called Acceleration that focuses on interactive recruitment marketing. As part of Recruiting.com's blog swap, today we're guest podcasters on Jim Stroud's acclaimed The Recruiter's Lounge. We're very privileged and honored to be here, and we hope you enjoy our commentary today, titled Gray Space. There's been a lot of good debate and commentary over the last year in the recruitment space about the coming mass exodus of baby boomer knowledge and productivity from the workplace. I'm sure you've read the articles. Doomsayers play the role of helping us see how bad it could be if we lose both the talent and fail to make adjustments for it now. Given that our economic survival depends on figuring out solutions to this problem, I believe that we'll come up with some innovative ways of harvesting our baby boomers' knowledge and experience. Others won't, and they'll likely go out of business. All of this has me thinking about our future. After all, everyone has a stake in it, regardless of age, social, geographic, or economic position. This discussion hardly started last year. Back in 1995, I attended a briefing by French management consultant and author Robert Aubrey at a Stanford breakfast meeting. Aubrey's book, Working Wisdom, Timeless Skills and Vanguard Strategies for Learning, co-authored by Paul Cohen, who you may know as the editor for Tom Peters' In Search of Excellence newsletter, takes a stab at defining how learning organizations could flourish by exploring how adults learn, how workers acquire wisdom, and how they use that knowledge to create more effective companies. The central theme of Aubrey's speech that really had an impact on me was that companies were doing a terrible job of recognizing the wisdom in their employees, never mind actually leveraging that wisdom. This was in the mid-90s in Silicon Valley when young whiz kids were already ruling the roost, while older 30-something to 50-somethings were already looked at as out of it. Yahoo's Stanford Digerati, Jerry Yang, and David Filo were busy rewriting the rules, and I was playing my own little part in that revolution while at the same time thinking about what I'd learned of history, culture, and philosophy from my father and others, and thinking to myself that we were missing something important in our corporate world as I watched co-workers and people that I knew to be expert, excellent resources leave or be downsized. Aubrey was telling us to wake up and recognize the great resources right under our noses, and also encouraging us to build learning organizations so that highly immature technology companies like Yahoo could do a better job of harvesting their own working wisdom. 10 years later, Jerry Yang and David Filo, even at their young ages today, are considered sages. There are legions of people who came before them, with them, and are still yet to come, such as our MySpace friends, that must all contribute to our collective corporate and personal consciousness. I believe that human behavior doesn't change much over time. Right now, the difference between a baby boomer and a MySpacer seems pretty vast, and they are in some ways. But looked at in context of our last 50 years, or a macro level, we actually see a lot of similarities. How different are a MySpace's behavior and social awareness from my mother and father's quote-unquote hippie generation? And is that so different from my own Gen X sensibility? The generations aren't so different, in fact. Interesting news stories about baby boomers have been popping up everywhere. In some instances, you could swap out baby boomer for Generation Y and have the same product, just a different target audience. Here are a few. Did you know, for example, that Jeff Taylor at Monster.com has been making news of late with Eons Incorporated? That's spelled E-E-O-N-S. You can also visit their site, which they have some basic information up on right now. We take this to be a new social networking site, targeting the 50 to 100-year-old demographic. Jeff's keeping pretty mum on the details of the site right now, but a clue to what the site will be can be found on an excerpt from one of Eon's open job description. Here's the excerpt. Quote, "Do you know the ins and outs of fostering a true sense of community on the web? Are you familiar with those tools and techniques that not only enable but encourage site visitors to take an active part in the conversations going on around them? Have you worked with message boards, blogs, and viral marketing campaigns that produce real results and transform websites from mere electronic versions of a print publication into a vibrant, dynamic community where the driving force of the conversation is as compelling as the original content offered by the site itself? End quote. For now, we think of it as Grayspace, the hair color equivalent for grown-up MySpaces. It does beg the question, will a kid land this open job at Eons and be the one building the community and the site, or will it be a baby boomer? Did you also know that electronic game maker Nintendo has posted sales with an 8-fold increase over the last year due to 40 and 50-somethings buying game units for themselves? Too right! Did anyone other than Nintendo see that one coming? How did they see that one coming? That's what I want to know. Here's a quote from The Guardian's technology section. Quote, Nintendo managed to attract new gamers in their 40s and 50s with its Brain Training for Adults, a collection of puzzles and quizzes designed to give older gamers a daily mental workout, and Nintendo Dogs, a virtual pet game. It has just released an electronic Sudoku, the numbers puzzle. End quote. What otherwise youthful characteristics have been showing up hummed to the tune of Jimmy Buffett's Wasted Away Again in Margaritaville, or Janis Joplin's Me and Bobby McGee? Here's a quote from a recent Business 2.0 article titled, More Retirees Opting to Launch Startups. And I quote, For the past 10 years, adults ages 55 to 64 have been the group most likely to start a new business, according to a study released in May by the Ewan Marion Kauffman Foundation, which promotes entrepreneurship. End quote. So, they've got the drive, they've got mobility, the same things that our young MySpaces have, but with money. Here's another quote. They're 58, but look 48. They're highly active and highly engaged, says Rebecca Massiera Kauffman, Wells Fargo Executive Vice President and Head of Small Business. They have networks and experience, and their kids are out of the house. End quote. And they're hopped up on the power of networking because many of them have been networking for longer than MySpaces have been alive. Here's another quote from Business 2.0. Indeed, strong networks are what separate thriving retiree entrepreneurs from all the rest, says Wes Moss, author of Starting from Scratch, Secrets from 21 Ordinary People Who Made the Entrepreneurial Leap, published by Kaplan in 2005. End quote. Are boomers just emulating our youth, or is something else going on? What do you think? This concludes our podcast from Acceleration on Jim Stroud's Recruiter's Lounge. We hope you enjoyed our thoughts and commentary today, and that you'll give us some feedback via Jim's blog. Take it easy.
Well, that's it for this show. You've been a wonderful audience. If you like what you heard, love what you heard, or just plain hate what you just heard, let me know. Your feedback matters. You can reach me through my website at jimstroud.com/podcast. That's jimstroud.com/podcast. So until next time, I'm Jim Stroud, and you're not. Radio, Radio, Radio Talent Zoo. Innovative audio on demand.